Now for a reading from Matthew 5, verses 1 through 11. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account."
Because it is so often difficult to hear a familiar text in new ways, and this is certainly a familiar text, it can be helpful to take some time and imagine it. Nadia Boltz-Weber invites us to do just that. She imagines this scene on the mountain as Jesus handing out blessings to anyone and everyone in the crowd, but especially to those whom the world looks down upon or leaves out. Jesus is handing out blessings as if they are growing on trees, she says. And so, imagine him. Imagine him here and now, extravagantly spreading blessing all around, maybe even offering us some new beatitudes. Blessed are the agnostics. Blessed are those who doubt, those who aren't sure, those who can still be surprised. Blessed are they who are spiritually impoverished and therefore not so certain about everything that they no longer take in new information. Blessed are those who have nothing to offer. Blessed are those preschoolers who cut in line at communion. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are they for whom death is not an abstraction. Blessed are they who have buried their loved ones, for whom tears could fill an ocean. Blessed are they who have loved enough to know what loss feels like. Blessed are the mothers of the miscarried. Blessed are they who don't have the luxury of taking things for granted anymore. Blessed are they who can't fall apart because they have to keep it together for everyone else. Blessed are those who still aren't over it yet. Blessed are those who mourn. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are those who no one else notices, the kids who sit alone at middle school lunch tables, the laundry guys at the hospital, the sex workers and the night shift street sweepers. Blessed are the forgotten. Blessed are the closeted. Blessed are the unemployed, the unimpressive, the underrepresented. Blessed are the teens who have to figure out ways to hide the new cuts on their arms. Blessed are the meek. You are of heaven, and Jesus blesses you. Blessed are the wrongly accused, the ones who never catch a break, the ones for whom life is hard, for Jesus chose to surround himself with people like you. Blessed are those without documentation. Blessed are the ones without lobbyists. Blessed are foster kids and special ed kids and every other kid who just wants to feel safe and loved. Blessed are those who make terrible business decisions for the sake of people. Blessed are the burned out social workers and the overworked teachers and the pro bono case takers. Blessed are the kind-hearted football players and the fundraising trophy wives. Blessed are the kids who step between the bullies and the weak. Blessed are they who hear that they are forgiven. Blessed is everyone who has ever forgiven me when I didn't deserve it. Blessed are the merciful, for they totally get it. I imagine Jesus standing here blessing us all because I believe that is our Lord's nature, Boltz-Weber says. Because after all, it was Jesus who had all the powers of the universe at his disposal, but did not consider his equality with God something to be exploited. Instead, he came to us in the most vulnerable of ways as a powerless flesh and blood newborn, as if to say, you may hate your bodies, but I am blessing all flesh. You may admire strength and might, but I am blessing all human weakness. You may seek power, but I am blessing all human vulnerability. This Jesus, whom we follow, cried at the tomb of his friend and turned the other cheek and forgave those who hung him on a cross because he was God's beatitude, God's blessing to the weak in a world that admires only the strong. God bless you. I remember when Ben and I first moved here, as we were trying to get to know all of you and trying to help all of you get to know us, we were very intentional in our sermons because we wanted to share personal stories every week. We wanted to give you a glimpse into what our lives have been like, give you a glimpse into the things and the people who are important to us. I remember Ben had several weeks in a row where he told stories from Africa. And I know that I had several funny anecdotes about our children. We wanted you to know us. And so we told you, frankly, we still tell you, a lot of stories to invite you into our lives, to deepen our relationship and connection, to tell you who we are. Jesus also begins his preaching life by trying to help his disciples catch a glimpse of who he is, by inviting them into relationship, into intimacy, vulnerability, humility, and compassion. Now, he doesn't tell them stories in this one, but he does paint a very clear picture of people and situations for them to reflect on, for them to engage, and through which our understanding of who he is and what he is about can grow. We learn to know Jesus by seeing who he notices and who he cares about. Following his temptation in the desert, Jesus has called disciples and begun ministering to people's needs, offering hope, healing, and wholeness as he goes. And this has drawn a crowd, a large one. People are seeking him out, all sorts of people, those who are sick or those who love someone who is. Surely some of the folks were simply curious, having heard stories that sounded a bit like legends about this rabbi. Others may have been disillusioned and were hoping for some truth. Certainly there were cynics among them, or other people who had less than good intentions for being there. All kinds of folks were gathered in that crowd. It's not any different today. We have gathered together for a whole host of reasons. Some are longing for acceptance, some for peace, others for community, still others for beauty. And some of you came here hoping to be challenged. Some are here because someone they care about wanted them to be here. Some of us are full of hope. Some of us are full of doubt. Some folks are longing for change, and others have no interest in seeing the world differently. We are crowded in around this Jesus who surprises us with blessing. Blessing in abundance, blessing for the most unlikely of people. This is who Jesus is. He blesses. He looks around and notices the needs in the crowd and is present to them. He promises that God cares. He looks around and notices the strengths in the crowd, the faithfulness, and he's present to that too. He promises that God cares about that as well. People who are hurting, broken, confused, hopeless, he sees them and is with them in it. People who are doing the best they can with what they have, who are hungering for righteousness, working for justice, Jesus sees them and is with them in it. People who are a strange mix of all of that at the same time, Jesus sees. People like us, Jesus sees us and is with us in it, whatever it is at the moment. Jesus notices and blesses and promises that God cares. There is something quite vulnerable about being seen, being noticed, being known. It is the foundation of intimacy. And more than that, what Jesus calls out and blesses are the very vulnerable parts of the people around him. Real parts. Parts we are afraid to share with others. Jesus notices things like longing and grief and hope and tenderness. The relationship into which Jesus is inviting the disciples and inviting us does not waste time at the surface. Instead, Jesus calls to the deepest parts of us, the very human parts of us. And then he blesses. Receiving that blessing can be transformative. It can change the ways we look at the world and at the people around us. When we are noticed, seen, and blessed, we are more likely to notice others in their vulnerability and more likely to offer blessing. So Jesus is not simply showing us who he is. He is also modeling for us who he wants us to be. Professor Caroline Lewis writes, The Beatitudes are a call to action. A call to action to point out who Jesus really is. The Jesus who reminds you at the most inconvenient times and places what the kingdom of heaven is all about. The Beatitudes are a call to action for the sake of creating the world that God imagines. And so in this first sermon of Jesus's, we see God noticing and blessing those around him. Those the world would rather ignore. Those parts of ourselves we would rather hide. We see Jesus noticing and offering intimacy, vulnerability, humility, compassion. We see Jesus offering blessing. That's the way the world works in God's imagination. Through real, loving, blessed relationship. Relationship with God and with each other. So who might you notice and bless this week? It doesn't have to be a big blessing, a card, a hug, and I love you. Maybe it's as simple as making eye contact, or waving, or listening attentively, or playing with a child. Who might you notice and bless? Jesus offers blessings, hands them out like they're growing on trees, which means that God is blessing you, and you, and you. God is blessing you. God is blessing us. And that's a call to action. It's a call to action for us, church. A call to make Jesus manifest among the vulnerable and the hurting and the faithful and the persecuted and everyone in between by also offering blessing. May God's Spirit stir us. May God's Spirit move us so that we might make it so. Amen.